Antigua, Armenia, Australia, Belgium, Brazil, Chechnya, Hungary, Ireland, Japan, Latvia, Mexico, Nigeria, Philippines, Russia, Slovenia, South Africa, United States.
Greetings, netizens around the world. Plan is once again listening to the technology show for Generation E, McWilliams Cyberline, coming at you around the world via the internet and coast to coast via satellite on the USA Radio Network right here. That's for our Cajun affiliate. Right here. That sucker just flying up over the bow.
As if we hadn't had enough water around here the last few days.
Yeah, but we're out over open ocean. It's different. I say catch that sea breeze, but the hull is like encased. So you just look at it in the window, maybe watch the windshield wipers go back and forth. That's about all you can do. Wow. It's been a long week, and I got to give a shout-out to Miss Lil. Miss Lil Hubbard. I don't know if you keep up with the radio, especially around here. Eddie Hubbard is like a man. I think him and Moses played jazz records together. Eddie has got to be in his 90s. I don't know the exact date, but they were in a car wreck this past week. And Miss Lil is, I don't know if she's in the hospital or not, but she sustained some injuries, and she is recuperating somewhere. I don't know if she's at home or in hospital. However, Eddie Hubbard died from his injuries in the car wreck. And if you're listening to us here on KVCE here in Dallas, there's funeral arrangements pending. So anybody that's anybody in radio will probably be attending Eddie's funeral. Eddie goes back to, I think, as far back as the 30s and 40s. He's met people that have come and gone, hung out with famous people, actors, actresses, musicians. And the man's knowledge of music was phenomenal. And I last saw him when we were at KAAM, and he was doing the afternoon show. And, of course, Jack Bishop was on after Eddie. And then they had some station changes, and both Jack and Eddie were forced out. I lost track of Eddie after he had left KAAM. I heard rumors. I think he went back to work for ABC Radio. For their Memories of Your Life, Stardust format, whatever it is now. I've also heard he was just happy puttering around the house. But I think he was 93. We really didn't know Eddie's age, but Eddie generally didn't look a day over 70. So either he's been cloning himself, special serum, or he's a time traveler. I don't know what the deal is, but Eddie never looked a day over 70. But anyway, I'll have more on that as time goes by. But again, our heartfelt condolences to Eddie Hubbard's family. On his, I want to say untimely passing, but when is it anybody's time? I always hear that, well, it was his untimely passing, but when is the time? You know, February 29th, 2008? What?
See, that's the thing. When they say your time, it's like if you knew when you were going to die, what would you do?
Make sure somebody I didn't like was in the passenger seat.
Or with the ejection button. Let me tell you something.
I mean, think about it.
I'm going to tell you something. I've thought about it. I know when I'm going to die. I know the date. I don't know the time, but I know the date and I know the year. And I'm not going to say what it is. But I will tell you this. When I went through all of this stuff with the heart surgery, I don't think you can do anything. If you know your date of death, I honestly don't think you can prepare for it even if you did know. And I'll tell you why. I knew that on February 13th, I was going in for open heart surgery. And I didn't. Thank God I didn't. You know, well, that mess we talked about before. But I was preparing myself, getting my stuff in order in the event of my passing. I had my obituary written. I had stuffed $200 into an envelope and tapped it on the back door of the cabinet in my office. And I had told somebody, I won't say who, that if I died, they were to instruct my wife where this money was, and that to open the envelope, and there would be my obituary, and have it published. I wanted everything said. I had talked to certain people. I had lunch with them. Jack Bishop was one of them. That I figured that if something happened, if I died on the table, whatever, everybody would know how I felt about them. And the 13th was approaching. And I tell you what, if I had died that day and I knew that that was the day I was going to die, there's no way in heck you could prepare for it. No way. I still had stuff left over. I forgot to tell somebody this. I forgot to do this. I forgot to do that. It's like getting on a plane and you pack and you know darn well that once you leave that tarmac, 20% of the stuff you were supposed to pack, you left behind. And what do? You go to the mall, you go to Radio Shack, whatever, you're buying the same stuff again you left at home. And that's why you have 2 and 3 and 5 and 8, especially if you're a frequent flyer, of the same stuff. You have 8 toolkits. You have 4 universal phone kits for going overseas. You have 2 digital voltmeters. You have 9 belts, 5 shirts. And we've lost count of how many socks because you forgot to pack. And don't get started on underwear. Because you know you forgot to pack them. 4 radios. God knows how many batteries. Batteries are the first to go out the window. I got to go to the CVS and get batteries. I forgot to put batteries in the camera. I got no batteries for the radio. You know it's true. Tell me nobody has done this. I guarantee you. Mathematical statistics show the minute you leave the tarmac, big old jet airliner go up in the air, 20% off the top. And it's the same way in getting ready to prepare for your death. You forget, and you're still having to do all this other crap, you know, with the job and whatever. I don't want to say crap. I like my job. But the point is, you're still preparing, and it still don't get done. And then find out it doesn't happen. I'm running like chicken with my head cut off. And I go, oh, I got to tell somebody I'm okay. Oh, wait a minute, I forgot to tell so-and-so I'm okay. I'm still, it's been, what, a month now? There's half the people they still think I'm recuperating from heart surgery. Because I haven't had the time to sit down and go, oh, by the way, I didn't have the surgery. They probably, you know, when they hear from me, oh, hey, he's back. No, he never really left. You know. So, no, I don't think you can prepare for your death, even if you knew the exact date. Because you procrastinate. And other things get in the way. And even if you knew the exact time and date, I don't think you could pull it off. I honestly don't.
Well, the reason I was saying that is when you have people say, when you go out and have a smoke, you're knocking 7 minutes off your life every time you have a smoke. Okay? Well, if I had a clock.
Yeah, but if I had sex, I gained 14.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. So
exercise.
Exercise.
Burns 300 calories. Said so in men's health.
So when you look at that, it's like, okay, you don't know how much time you have.
No.
So you just live every moment that you have
to the
fullest.
That's what you got to do. All right, I'm going to come back. I'm going to tell you about how Mark Cuban screwed us and about the new copyright rates. We'll be right back.
I've got my headphones off. Still here.
I'm stuck. I think he's gone deaf in there. Maybe he needs to start. Bohemian boy in there needs to start wearing headphones. And he can get on the same level with us or something. Anyway, I told you about how Mark Cuban on the first hour screwed us over on the royalty rates. Oh, gosh. Where do I start on this? Sound Exchange and the powers that be. A royalty, if it looks like the movie's familiar, it is. And royalty increase for songs played over internet radio stations is declared, followed by doomsday predictions that the increase will bring about a cataclysm collapse of the entire industry. It's like 2002 over again. That's when the Copyright Royalty Board first set royalties for music played on internet radio stations. Webcasters would pay royalties to a new collection agency, Sound Exchange, established by the Recording Industry Association of America. Yeah, thanks. That is such a bunch of bogus BS. Talk about the fox in the hen house. Many aspects of predictions from 5 years ago have in fact taken place, though not quite on the scale webcasting advocates feared at the time. Several small webcasters forced to shutter their operations, and the remaining webcasters had to change their revenue model significantly. During the 2002 fracas, many friends of net radio argued that the royalty changes would destroy the diversity of choice that makes webcasting so appealing to the hardcore music fan. Take a look around at the webcasting scene today, however, and you'll find a thriving bazaar of commercial and nonprofit webcasters providing everything from top 40 hits to classical oboe music. Now, taking this into account, CESA dismissed the current pessimistic prognostications by webcasting insiders as yet another temper tantrum by a young adolescent industry that has just suffered a major regulatory setback. But many things have changed since those tumultuous days of 2002, and the Copyright Royalty Board has revealed itself to have either an insidious grudge against or a dangerous misunderstanding about small and nonprofit net radio. You ready for the new royalty hike? Get ready, because here it is. This time around, the Copyright Royalty Board rejected the percentage of revenue suggestion coming from all parties to the royalty review, except Sound Exchange, of course, and increased the royalty for music streamed under a statutory license by 100, listen to this, 170% over 5 years, from 0.0007 in 2005 to 0.0019 in 2010. And this is the fun part. You ready for this one? The CRB also tacked on an administration fee of $500 per channel payable to Sound Exchange each year. Considering the fact that several small webcasters have hundreds of thousands of channels, this could easily cause a massive red tide for the webcasting industry, or at the very least result in a serious drop in the number of channels offered up to the public. This time around, therefore, the doomsayers could be right. Now, quick look at the numbers show why. Assuming most streaming radio stations play about 16 songs per hour, royalty charge per listener an hour in 2006 becomes 1.28 cents, 16 songs times 0.0008. By 2010, assuming that net radio lasts that long, that number has jumped to 3.04 cents per listener hour. That's pretty much everyone can agree on. Here's where it gets a little more contentious. One commentator has argued that a properly run web station could pull in two radio spots an hour at about $3 cost per thousand viewers. The executive director of Sound Exchange, John Simpson, on the other hand, believes that webcasters can sell six ads per hour at a cost per million of $20. Under the former view, webcasters can pull in 0.006 per listener hour. Given the presence of other revenue streams, banner ads, and the like, the overall revenue for a typical webcaster would be about 1 to 1.2 cents per listener hour. Thus, the royalty payment for 2006 will constitute anywhere from 107% to 128% of the normal webcaster's total revenue. Taking Simpson's approach to the numbers, webcasters can generate a whopping 12 cents per listener hour. Adding an additional revenue, which will keep at the same level as the previous example, gives an overall revenue of 12.4 to 12.8 cents per listener hour. Thus, the 1.28 cents going to Sound Exchange doesn't look so bad, amounting to only 10% of the webcaster's overall revenue. As with all disputes, the answer probably lies somewhere in the middle, but almost certainly far, far away from Simpson's numbers. Without any solid industry information or advertising rate cards and revenues for webcast stations, it's impossible to know for sure what percentage of revenue the new royalty charge will take from the industry as a whole. Any webcasters care to tell the real story? One thing is clear, regardless of which, the set of a great numbers you choose to follow, it's that the new payments will hit the little guy hardest of all, especially once you take that $500 per channel admin fee into account. Nonprofits get a bit of a break, since they only have to pay the royalties once they exceed the arbitrary aggregate tuning hour threshold set by the CRB. Since they also have very little revenue, however, the new royalties constitute an especially onerous burden for them. CRB's rulings give small commercial and nonprofit webcasters the choice of the damned. They can either cough up the extra money necessary to use a statutory license for streaming music, or they can negotiate with the RIAA directly for a contractual license. In 2002, a group comprised of several small webcasters broke away from the rest of the web community and brokered a deal with the RIAA to do just that. Backroom divide and conquer trick by the RIAA split the webcasting community and resulted in the Small Webcasters Settlement Act, which allowed for negotiated license based on percentage of revenue or expenses, whichever was greater. For this go-round, however, more of the small webcasters and nonprofits have given some marbles and actually have grown some marbles and actually decided to fight. Ouch. This is not good.
Greed.
Very much. Well, it's not so much greed. The bottom line is this. They don't want webcasting radio. There is no reason, none, nada, zip, to have people paying per download of a person. Regular radio does not do it. The model that regular radio has been using for years, there is nothing wrong with it. And they want to kill web radio. They can't control it. They have no control over it whatsoever. They want it dead, just like downloading. And, you know, the whole point of them existing is somebody's got to hear the music. And that's what radio stations do. They expose the music to the masses, and they go, I like that. I'm going to go buy an album. And then they make money off of that. And then the guys that write the songs get paid that way. And it's up to the people that are part of the RIAA to have concerts and sell T-shirts and go on tour. It's not my fault you promote crappy people.
Well, the important thing to remember is that the artists only make money from the concerts. The artists do not make money from CD sales.
They make percentage.
No, not much. They do not,
yeah,
because,
not much, but they
because the RIAA makes all of the money off of the CD sales. They charge them so much. Remember the interview with Janet Ian?
Yeah.
When she said you can sell a million copies and still owe the RIAA $32,000?
You know what? We need to get her on with this new fight. And they're saying that there's several people that are coming in. Digital Media Association is going after Sound Exchange. They attribute it to gamesmanship, but not hard to see what they're really saying. Collegiate webcasters and the Harvard Radio Broadcasting Company have also challenged CRB's actions and lumping them in with all other webcasters and requiring them to maintain massive amounts of information. Sound Exchange, on the other hand, has filed its own motion, arguing the CRB's pronouncement didn't cast a wide enough net. Some of the terms the CRB used in the decision, according to Sound Exchange, could exclude cellular radio or other music delivery systems that don't use TCP/IP. See, now they're going after everybody else. There's talk of radio being on your cell phone. It's coming. There's talk of radio being in other ways that isn't delivered by the Internet. And Sound Exchange wants to screw them over as well. But here, you know, think what you want about this. This is one person I hope wins. National Public Radio has already said it will file suit in the District Columbia Circuit Court of Appeals, regardless of whether its own motion is granted, since its beef with the CRB's decision goes far beyond what the CRB can address in a simple rehearing. So gear up, Net Radio fans. It looks like we've got a grudge match in our hands. So, you know, I hope NPR and all of them and National Public Radio get going and just kick them in the shorts. Because this is ridiculous. This whole thing needs to go. And we just had a settlement with the broadcasting companies like Clear Channel and Disney and all of them, and also with the record companies over payola. And I find that amazing. It's like, gee, you can't trust them with payola, but you're going to trust them with Sound Exchange? There is no reason for a body like the RIAA to be the person in control of the company that handles the funds. It's ridiculous. There should be a third party, even if you decide to go down this model, that they don't have touching, nothing, nada. Why is the RIAA's hands in Sound Exchange? No. Well, of course, make more money.
Money.
But the point is, that should be a third party, like escrow. It should be no touchy.
Yeah. Well, I have.
In fact, shouldn't be there at all. Should be back to the old model.
I kind of have a problem with the model of paying royalties to play on radio anyway, because that's advertising for them. The radio stations ought to be charging them.
Well, bottom line is, the old model was fine. needs to be that way, and the RIAA just needs to just roll over and die. We'll be right back.
Unbelievable! It's an actual, factual robot hell!
Who would have thought hell would really exist, and that it would be in New Jersey?
Actually...
Greetings, Bender! Welcome to Robot Hell! I'm hallucinating this, right? No, Bender. Robot Hell is quite real. Here's our brochure. But I don't belong here. I don't like things that are scary and painful. Sorry, Bender. You agreed to this when you joined our religion. If you sin, you go to Robot Hell. For all eternity. Ah, hell. I mean, heck. It's all right, you can say that here. We know all your sins, Bender, and for each one, we've prepared an agonizing and ironic punishment. Gentlemen? Ah, crap, singing. Mind if I smoke?
Cigars are evil, you won't miss them. We'll find ways to simulate that smell. What a sorry fella, rolled up in smoke like a panicella. Here on level one of Robot Hell. Gambling's wrong and so is cheating. So is forging phony IOUs. Let's let Lady Luck decide what type of torture's justified. I'm fifth boss here on level two.
Deep-fried robots.
Just tell me why.
Please read this 55-page warrant.
There must be robots worse than I.
We checked around, there really aren't.
Then please let me explain. My crimes were merely boyish pranks.
You stole from Boy Scouts, nuns, and banks.
Ah, stop blaming me. Blame my upbringing.
Please stop singing while I'm singing. Standing bootleg tapes is wrong. Musicians need that income to survive.
Hey, Ben, you're gonna make some noise with your hard drive scratched by the Beastie Boys. That's what you get on level five.
I don't feel well.
It's up to us to rescue him.
Maybe he likes it here in hell.
Is that too tempting him to sin?
Maybe he's back at the motel.
Come on, Fry, don't be scared. I'm sure at least one of us will be spared. So just sit back and enjoy the ride.
Fencing diamonds, fixing cockfights, publishing in decent magazines. You'll pay for every crime. Knee-deep in electric slime. You'll suffer till the end of time. Enduring tortures, most of which rhyme. Trapped forever here in Robot Hell.
Bender, are you all right?
No. Oh, they're tormenting me with up-tempo singing and dancing. Oh,
of course, that's just for starter.
McWilliam Summerline, 800-992-8721. Right in the room is always host... 2007 at cyber-line.com. Don't forget, too, that send your email in for the Hawaii 5-0 box set. It closes up next week. I think we pretty much have decided we're best of next week. So you've got next week to get it in. When we get back, we're drawing for the box. We've already got several people in from various affiliates across the country, many of them in Texas. But the bottom line is you need to get it done. Don't, you know, set your taxes aside. Just drop us a quick note. Then go back and do your taxes.
Yeah. Okay. Since I couldn't win it, I had to go out and buy mine.
And I bought mine, too, so.
Oh, you mean we're not going to get a copy?
No.
For us on the show so we can go and watch it and enjoy it?
We missed the deadline.
Oh.
That's why we went out and bought our own copies. Now, maybe if you're a good little boy, we might spoon feed you you know, disc one.
We might loan it to you.
Yeah, be like Netflix. When I get the disc back, the disc two comes out. By the way.
The problem, though, is disc one and two are in the same little folder thingy.
That's right. Well, we have to trust you, and I wonder what shoot you. Speaking of which, do you know that if you are a American Airlines Advantage member, and yet you and me, what about you? You won?
I'm a poor boy. I don't have anything like that.
Why ain't you getting flight miles, boy?
Because I don't fly.
Why don't you fly, boy?
If I can drive, I'll drive.
This explains everything.
Yeah.
If he doesn't believe we walked on the moon and he doesn't fly, what is it with the young generation today? I have run into a lot of people in their 20s that are afraid as all get out to fly.
News media.
Yeah. And
there was a plane crash today. Yeah, well, there were 475 billion miles flown since the last one.
Yep.
Personally, I like the long, slow drive. Gives me time to collect my thoughts.
I like driving, too, but you know what? If I have to, I'll fly. If I have a choice, I will drive. But I like driving in the fact of there's a lot of crap that you miss between point A and point B. And by driving, I learn new dialects. I learn people and places. And
you see a lot of strange things when you take the road.
And if you have your radio on, you hear a lot of weird things, too.
Oh, like, yeah.
When we were in Arkansas, and they're playing bingo for $6 on an AM station outside of Little Rock, somewhere between Arkadelphia and Little Rock, we heard that. But here's the deal. If you are an Advantage Flight Mile member and you sign up through the Advantage website for Netflix and you take the $9.95 a month package, you will get 1,500 flight miles added to your account. So you're watching movies and getting flight miles.
1,500 once?
I think so.
Oh.
Ooh, yeah, we got to talk about that. Got to talk about that. The bloodletting. You guys heard about Circuit City?
No.
Yes.
Thank you, Bill, by the way.
I saw that on the news the other morning. That is messed up.
Did you hear what they said? We're going to replace them with people because these people, this is bottom line. It was this wordy, nerdy, you know, press release mumbo jumbo, but the bottom line is if you strip it away and translate it, we're firing these people because we pay them too much and replace them with people that we don't have to pay so much.
But they can have their jobs back. They can reapply for their jobs after 11 weeks because they get a severance package.
Right.
But at a lower rate. So
really?
If they're making $18 an hour, they can reapply for that same job.
For $6 an hour.
For $9 an hour.
Didn't Blockbuster do something like that when they bought Sound Warehouse?
I don't know if they did or not.
I think they pulled all the employees together and said, anybody here knows anything about music, raise your hand. Okay, you're all fired.
Well, I don't know who it was over there. I think you're right about it. But I do know this. We've been down this path before, because back in 2003, remember now, Circuit City was commission-based. Circuit was commission-based. I think Good Guys was commission-based. Highland definitely was commission-based. Boy, you went through that psychobabble training. That was unreal. But they fired all of the commission people and said, well, we're replacing you with non-commission people. Because these guys were good. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't like commission salespeople because I don't know if they're lying to me or not. And I was one of them. That's one of the reasons why I got out of commission sales. I hated lying to people. But the thing is, these guys were good at what they did. They got the sales. They got the extended warranties. Wasn't good enough for Circuit City, so they fired them. But unlike this time, they didn't allow them to get their jobs back. They said, nope, be gone. And they hired people that were lower. So now those people came in to replace the commission people. It's been a couple of years now. They've gotten raises. They've done very well. And what's happened now? Why am I not? You know what? I wouldn't buy a damn thing from Circuit City because of the way that they treat their people like that. That's right up there. This is why Software House. This is why CompUSA is not around anymore because they pull the same crap.
Yeah. We're running out of places to buy things, though. Yeah,
exactly.
Here, they say here, according to figures from one congressman, the six top executives at Circuit City earned roughly $33.5 million over the last 3 years. That's enough to employ 450 people at $12 an hour for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So they're making all this money at the top.
Yeah. It's never the board. It's never the CEOs.
No, no.
It's them pesky little employees down there just screwing up the machinery.
The ones that are bringing the money in.
Yeah. But you notice they don't get off their butt and go down to the floor and go say, "Hi, I'm the CEO of the company. How may I help you?"
Right.
"Hi, I'm the chief financial officer. How may I help you? I'm the chief cook bottle washer, and I own that guy's soul over there. How may I help you?" No, they never come out of their little chairs, but they're getting $33 million a year. That's ridiculous. You know, it's one thing, there's a fine line between being paid to be a CEO, and I'm not one of those people that, you know, off their heads for all CEOs, but really, I mean, come on. You've already done this once to people. And we kind of, you know, okay, it's on commission, I feel good. And now we're putting the screws to those people while these other people are getting paid all this money. I mean, I will never shop in Circuit. I had no desire to shop in Circuit, and now after this, I don't even want to shop in Circuit.
I don't think I've ever bought anything there.
I haven't, and I don't intend to start to. How about your opinion? 800-992-8721. We'll be right back. No, no, don't turn it up. My ears are still bleeding. Robert, in the chat room, they're talking about Best Buy, a couple other things. They said, you know what's next? Counter where you check yourself out and robots restocking inventory. Unless they get too expensive. Well, you know, what's funny about all of this is that's pretty close to self-checkout at Walmart. But then there was also an article in the Dallas Morning News a couple weeks ago that RFID is not all it was cracked up to be. They're talking about, you know, how RFID was supposed to revolutionize the inventory supply chain. They're finding it's not what they expected. But you know what's sad? Once again, we're going to get a kick in the shorts because the majority of the RFID comes out of the telecom corridor. Oh. Everything here, we got kicked in the shorts over the telecom corridor. Now these guys have changed and done RFID, and now Dallas is like the ground zero for RFID. And now we're going to get kicked in the shorts again because it didn't pan out as well as they thought.
Now, then we had a guest on here, didn't we?
Yeah, what talking was about name? The chips and stuff. Oh, I can't remember her name. Bob was here. He could tell us.
But
she was talking about spy chips.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, she would be, you know, probably somebody good to have back on to talk about this.
Oh, I'm sure we would.
See what the deal is.
How are you? Thought you were having something to say.
Yes, actually. But... But it was more about self-checkout and how I'm beginning to really, really despise self-checkout.
I hate self-checkout.
I don't mind scanning, putting things in there, but every time I go through the self-checkout, I get down to, like, the last item, and I scan it, and I haven't quite put it in the bag yet, and it comes up and says, "Error, remove item from bag."
Yep.
I'm going, "Remove what item? The one I haven't put in yet or the one I put in last?" It doesn't matter. You take the last one out. It says, "No, not that item. Put that back." And eventually I have to reach up, cancel it, dump everything back over, and rescan everything.
Tell you a little trick about that, too. You ever have that deal? I'm one of those people where I'll go into a store, and I'm shopping. I'm going to be there a while. So I go over and get a Snapple or something, right? And I'm sitting there sucking on it while I'm shopping. And then when I'm finished, I go through the line. I pay for it. And if it's, you know, empty, then I just have to throw it away. I paid for it. And I'm good. Try that through self-checkout. If you take a couple of swallows of iced tea, beverage, Coke, whatever, and then you seal it and go through the checkout, the thing will go nuts. And I'm thinking, why do you not want to scan my bottle? I mean, it's legit. It goes by weight.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you stick it in your bag.
No, when you put it on the conveyor belt, it goes by weight. It thinks, well, yeah, some of them have the bag scale.
Right.
The ones Neighborhood Market are on the belt.
Oh, okay.
And so it thinks that you're trying to screw it over with a different product because
it knows that this product's supposed to weigh so much, but if it weighs less, you're trying to screw it over and get a different price. I found that out. I had to have a person come over and override it. So, no, I go through, yeah, cough buttons. Yeah, yeah, we get it, Trick Shot. Thank you.
Hey, if he wants to come in here.
Yeah, you want to come put him in?
And install him and put a new mixer board in that will work with it, we'll be happy to let him do it.
And fix
the
microphone.
Well, when D gets a makeover, the first thing will be cough buttons, I assure you.
And more than three microphones at the table?
Oh, yeah, there'll be a lot of stuff going on.
Although I will say that the air conditioner is a little better now.
Yeah.
If it was July outside, it'd been perfect.
It's a wonder that the dog, I've got my other dog here with me. It's a wonder that it's not like a dog sickle. We'd take it out and grill it or something, you know.
Well, we've warmed up enough that the superconductors quit working.
Radioactive says, try buying fruits and veggies in self-checkout. It's like trying to go through customs. So, you know, technology is, there's good things about technology, there are bad things about technology, and the self-checkout line is not helping me.
No.
I've stopped shopping at Walmart because I'm tired of standing in lines. I'm not in the health anymore to stand in line for long periods. Well, and I go to Tom Thumb, and I get flight miles. Can I make sure I get flight miles when I go to Tom Thumb?
Well, you know, I was really glad to see the self-checkout because I thought, you know, they have these people, these minimum wagers that don't care. You know, they don't really want to be there. It's a boring job. We'll double scan items occasionally and not go, oops, and let me take that back off. Or, you know, whatever. I thought, well, this will be better because you're doing it. You're not going to be making those mistakes. If you make that mistake, you're the one that's going to pay for it, so you keep more, you know, keep care, track of it. But every time I do that, I get down toward the end, and something messes up, and the weight sensor's wrong, and I have to start over. And it just aggravates me every time.
Well, you know, I was talking a couple weeks ago about, you know, CompUSA and lines and time wasters and everything, and my friend Jose, who calls himself Fred, but he's really Jose, is at this particular store, this, you know, Garland. And one of the things that drives me insane is either the self-checkouts are broken, or when they're not broken, they don't turn them on. So, you know, you have very few people standing there cashiering. The rest of the people are in line getting hacked off, and you could go to self-checkout if you wanted to, but you can't because it's either broke or turned off.
Well, what I don't understand is that you go into these new Super Walmarts, or even at a Super Target, you go in there and there's 50 registers, but 5 are open.
Yep. That's what I find with this particular Walmart.
Why do you have, and that's even during Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
You got 50 registers, and you got 5 open.
They're saving labor to make their bonus look good. That's the main reason. It's like, you know, all that money is payroll. They don't like payroll. You know, it's funny about companies. You need people to do the work. So that you can stay in your cushy little office and rule on lord over them. But you know what? They're pesky little things, and we got to cut payroll. But then if you cut payroll, you're hacking off customers because they can't get in, you know, get out of line fast enough to buy stuff, and they don't want to buy from you anymore.
Yeah, and then you see an express lane, and you look over, and there's somebody with 2 shopping carts full standing in the express lane, and they get up and they check them out instead of saying, hey, get out of this line, go get in the other one.
Oh, well, you don't want to do that. We had that problem in our connection center. 10 items or less, no produce. Well, hey, to me, the register's there for a reason. It's to sell my connection stuff. I'm supposed to check out everything else in the store. I don't care. I have it here for a reason, and that's to do phones. But we had to check everything out. I spent more of my day instead of selling phones in that store checking out groceries. And I'm like, that's why we have 40-something people up there.
Mm-hmm.
And just ridiculous.
Well, I very rarely buy a lot of stuff when I go in a store. And it really aggravates me when I spend 5 minutes in the store and 35 minutes in the line to check out.
So like I said before, you waste my time. I don't care. I like buying frozen food. And I make sure that I got plenty of frozen food. And if you waste my time, guess what? The basket of frozen food is going to sit there deteriorating as I walk off. And if you so much as touch me about it, I'll hit you. Because my time is valuable. I don't have time to stand around. I don't have the capability to stand around for long periods anymore. And I'll be go to hell if I'm going to stand in line at anybody's store that I'm bringing them money saying, I am here to buy goods. You don't want to take my money? You want to accommodate me to take my money? You don't want to give me, you know, a quick time to take my money? Then you know what? I don't need to be shopping.
Well, hey, I won't spend more than 10 minutes waiting for a seat at a restaurant. I won't spend more than 10 minutes in a checkout line.
That's right.
I won't go back.
My money's just as good anywhere else. And if I convert it to pesos, I can get me a pizza at several places here locally. And that's another story. It's not right, Jose. Anyway. All right, we come back. We'll be talking about the open document format. We're going to be talking about Space Update. And then Glenn's going to join us by phone at the bottom of the hour to pay tribute to our dear friend, Chewie the Dog. Around the world via internet and coast to coast via satellite. Listen to the Queen Cyberline on USA Radio Network.